Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, American Nations by Colin Woodard reframes North American history through the lens of culture rather than borders, arguing that the continent is best understood as a patchwork of rival regional nations with distinct origins, values, and political instincts. Instead of treating the United States as one coherent society, Woodard traces how settlement patterns, religious traditions, economic systems, and relationships to indigenous peoples and slavery created enduring cultural regions that still shape elections, public policy, and everyday norms. The book spans from early colonization through westward expansion and into modern partisan conflict, connecting pivotal historical moments to deep-rooted regional identities. By mapping culture onto geography, it offers a compelling explanation for why people living under the same federal constitution can hold sharply different views on authority, liberty, community, and the role of government. Readers come away with a practical framework for interpreting current events, demographic change, and the recurring fault lines that appear in American politics and social debates. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a continent of nations, not just states, the core idea is that North America contains multiple cultural nations whose boundaries often ignore state lines. Woodard identifies 11 rival regional cultures, each formed by distinct founding populations and early institutions. This approach shifts the question from why the United States is divided to how it was never culturally uniform to begin with. The book emphasizes that values travel with settlers. Attitudes toward hierarchy, individualism, civic responsibility, religion, and economic life were carried across the Atlantic or down from New France and then reproduced on the ground. Over time, these patterns became self-reinforcing through migration streams, local governance, schooling, and social expectations. The model also explains why political coalitions frequently align with regional culture rather than simple urban-rural or north-south splits. A major takeaway is that national debates about freedom, equality, and power are often conflicts between competing cultural definitions of those terms. Understanding the nation's framework helps readers interpret why similar policies succeed in one region and fail in another, and why the same national event can be remembered as triumph in one place and tragedy in another. Secondly, founding settlements and the long shadow of early institutions. Woodard links regional cultures to their founding settlement projects and the institutions they built, such as church structures, land tenure, town governance, and labor systems. Different colonial models created different societies. Some emphasized tight-knit communities and moral regulation. Others prioritized commerce and pluralism, while still others developed around plantation economies or frontier extraction. These early choices shaped later migration and development by attracting like-minded settlers and discouraging others, producing durable cultural feedback loops. The book shows how patterns established centuries ago remain visible in modern social indicators, political rhetoric, and debates about education, welfare, policing, and taxation. The emphasis is not on genetic determinism, but on institutional inheritance. People adapt to local norms, and newcomers are often absorbed into existing cultural expectations. By tracking how colonization strategies interacted with geography and economic opportunity, the narrative explains why regional differences persisted even as technology improved and national markets integrated. This topic encourages readers to see contemporary conflicts as arguments over inherited social contracts, not merely reactions to today's headlines. Thirdly, slavery, indigenous relations, and competing moral orders. A major through line is how regions differed in their economic dependence on coerced labor and in their approaches to indigenous peoples, which in turn shaped moral and political worldviews. Woodard connects plantation systems and racial hierarchy to particular regional cultures and contrasts them with regions where smallholder farming, religious descent, or commercial networks produce different norms. The book also highlights that North America was never an empty stage. Indigenous nations, alliances, and conflicts affected settlement patterns and the emergence of borderlands cultures with their own identities. These histories mattered not only in the era of colonization, but also in the formation of state policies, civil rights struggles, and the narratives communities tell about themselves. By treating slavery and indigenous displacement as structural forces rather than side chapters, the book shows how cultural nations formed around different answers to fundamental questions: who belongs, who governs, and whose labor builds prosperity. This lens helps explain why some regions developed strong traditions of reform and others entrenched systems of exclusion, and why arguments about history and memory remain politically charged today. Fourthly, borderlands, migrations, and the making of hybrid regions. Not all cultural nations emerged from a single founding group. Some formed in borderlands where empires, languages, and economies overlapped. Woodard pays attention to regions shaped by Spanish, French, British, and indigenous interaction, as well as later waves of internal migration that carried cultures westward. The book describes how certain regions became hybrid zones where identity was negotiated through trade, intermarriage, conflict, and shifting sovereignty. These areas often developed flexible social arrangements compared to more rigidly organized settlement colonies, but they could also become arenas of intense contest when rival cultures tried to impose their institutions. This topic clarifies why the same state can contain sharply different political geographies, and why metropolitan areas, resource frontiers, and agricultural basins can pull in different directions. Migration is presented as a key mechanism. People did not spread randomly, they followed routes and networks that replicated older cultures in new settings, creating echoes of eastern regions across the interior and the Pacific coast. The result is a map where culture follows historical currents more than modern administrative boundaries. Lastly, modern politics as a clash of regional cultures, the framework culminates in an interpretation of modern polarization as the latest iteration of long-standing rivalries between regional cultures. Woodard suggests that voting patterns, party platforms, and policy disputes often reflect deeper regional assumptions about authority, community obligations, markets, and the legitimacy of government intervention. Rather than treating partisan identity as purely ideological, the book connects it to place-based cultures that respond differently to demographic change, immigration, and economic restructuring. It also helps explain why national compromises are fragile. They must bridge cultures with incompatible definitions of freedom and fairness. Readers can use this lens to make sense of why certain messages resonate strongly in some regions and fall flat in others, and why major realignments recur when coalitions shift across cultural boundaries. Importantly, the model does not claim regions never change. It argues that change tends to be filtered through existing cultural institutions and narratives. This topic offers practical value for interpreting current events, from federalism debates to school curricula fights, by revealing the cultural logic underlying political behavior. In conclusion, this book is well-suited for readers who want a deeper explanation of American division than the usual red state, blue state storyline. It will appeal to history enthusiasts, political observers, journalists, educators, and anyone who has lived in more than one region and sensed that social rules and political instincts change dramatically with geography. By focusing on settlement origins, institutions, and the persistence of regional norms, American nations can benefit a reader's life by improving cultural literacy. It equips you to interpret local conflicts at work, in community meetings, or in family conversations as differences in assumptions rather than proof of bad faith. That shift can reduce frustration and sharpen judgment, especially when following elections or policy debates. Compared to similar books that explain polarization primarily through economics, media, or personality, Woodard offers a durable map that links today's arguments to centuries of development. The value is its integrative approach. History, migration, political behavior, and identity are woven into a single framework that readers can apply repeatedly. If you want an accessible but ambitious way to understand why national unity is so difficult and why regional coalitions keep reappearing, this book is worth buying for its memorable model and its broad historical sweep. If you would like to support Colin Woodard, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.